Let's pray. Gracious and loving God, we thank you for the opportunity to be here in church today, to worship you with our sisters and brothers. We pray this morning that your word will come alive to us, and that through your Holy Spirit, you will teach us those things that you want us to know, and show us those things that you want us to know. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Separated at birth. You've heard those before. A couple of stars, they look kind of alike. They have a lot of actions that are similar. For me, Amos and John the Baptist were separated at birth. They seem like two peas in a pod to me. Neither one of them is a trained professional clergy. Both of them don't really lack any boldness. They are both missing a little tact and diplomacy when they speak. But they're both called by God to step out of their normal circumstances and do something at a particular time. And in the case of the two passages we've just read, they're called to do something, and they're called to speak out against God's ordained authority. And they've been warned by different people to not speak out. You can't challenge the authority that God's been put in place. But neither man listened to those warnings. Both of them spoke truth to power in very different situations. Mark's gospel is a speedy thing. When you read through Mark's gospel, it is indeed the shortest. It's about half the number of verses that are in Luke. So if you're wanting to do, you know, a gospel reading and you don't want to take all day doing it, read Mark. It'll work for you. It's about half the others. But it uses the word immediately over 40 times. Things happen in a hurry in Mark. Mark is always in a hurry and always on the go. 40 different times, immediately they went here and immediately they went there. But today's passage seems to be different than that. The rapid movement of going from place to place on one side of the lake and the other side of the lake that we've been talking about over the last few weeks. Jesus was in a boat. He's walking on the water. He's preaching here. He's preaching there. Going fast. We're going to send out the 12. And then we stop for a flashback. This is what this is. It's a digression in a story. How many times have you read a novel or seen a movie where they have to set up something that happened in the past so that everybody will know? So they do a flashback. And you see the younger version of Indiana Jones. Or you see the younger version of whoever it is. And that's what this is doing. Because this is completely out of order. It's already happened. But you see, in verses 14 through 16, we get an understanding of why Mark brought us here. Because it's at this point that he tells us that Herod believes that Jesus was the reincarnation or the resurrection of John the Baptist, whom Herod had killed. Okay, fair enough. We learned about Herod. We learned about that. Let's move on because we're in a hurry. Mark's always in a hurry. But no, Mark stops down for 14 more verses to retell this story of John the Baptist, something that his audience would have probably known pretty well. But he thinks it's important enough to spend a significant amount of time to bring this story back to life, to give us this flashback at this particular moment. But in order to understand it, we may not know that story as well as Mark's original audience in the first century. For one thing, the cast of characters is a bit odd. Now, many of you have heard of Herod the Great. That's not this Herod. How many of you guys know George Foreman, right? He was at one time a boxer, but then he made a grill and made a fortune doing that. He has 12 children, five boys. All five boys are named George, right? Well, Herod was the George Foreman of the first century, because Herod the Great wanted everybody to be named Herod. So what we have here is another Herod. He's son of Herod the Great. And the other thing about Herod the Great was the Jewish people, and Josephus tells us this, that the Jewish people had a saying. Well, first of all, you know who Herod was, right? He was a king of the Jews. He was a Jewish king. He took over after the Maccabees dynasty, and he ruled Jerusalem. Now, he was a client king of Rome. Rome was really in charge, but they didn't like to have to do all the mechanics of ruling a place. So they left the local rulers in place. And that's who Herod was. Herod the Great was the Jewish anointed king. But what Josephus the historian tells us is there was a saying among the Jews, the people he ruled, that it was better to be a pig in Herod's farm than to be one of his sons. Because you see, as a good Jew, he didn't eat the pigs, but he murdered three of his seven sons. You misbehave, you get your head chopped off. That's just, you know, you may be named Herod, but you're not going to be around for long. Herod Antipas was the fourth or fifth son, if I get my numbers right. All but two were from different wives that Herod the Great had. And I tell you this because it's going to get more convoluted in just a moment. Because in the story, we have Herodias, hence George Foreman's daughter named Georgette. We get a Herodias. She, however, was not Herod's daughter. She married one of Herod's sons. And in honor of Herod, changed her name to Herodias. She was married to a man named Philip, who unfortunately was one of the ones that he murdered. So, she was a widow. But what's interesting is she was the daughter of Philip's brother, well, half-brother, which means that she was Philip's wife and niece. Then she was Herod Antipas' sister-in-law and niece. And then she became Herod Antipas' wife and niece. I'm my own grandpa. His family was a little messed up. Herod the Great dies. Herod Antipas takes over the throne. This is the one that's in our story today. And he's married to his sister-in-law, niece, slash wife, which breaks a few of the Jewish laws at the time. As you can imagine, marrying one's niece is kind of frowned upon. In this story, there's a little girl. We know she's a little girl because the same word that's used in the Greek to identify the young girl who Jesus raised from the dead a few chapters earlier, that same phrase for little girl is used to describe the young girl who dances for Herod. They call her Herodias as well. You get the picture of what's going on. Later on, Josephus called her Salome, but regardless, she was the daughter of Herodias. Don't ask me who the father was because I have no clue. But she was the daughter of Herodias, and she was a little girl who entertained the king and some of his friends. He was happy, liked the entertainment. So he says to her, I'll give you anything you want, up to half my kingdom. Obviously, being a little girl, she didn't know what to ask for, so she went to her mom, and her mom said, I want the head of John the Baptist, because he's the one who has been telling the world that Herod and I shouldn't be married. I shouldn't marry my brother-in-law, uncle. That's what he's telling the world. So she does. She tells the child, give me the head of John the Baptist. She passes on the information. Herod can't lose face in front of his friends. So he does it. He brings the head of John the Baptist. Amos was a shepherd. He was tending his flock one day, and God came to him in a vision and said, "You must go and speak to the king. You must prophesy in the capital city of Bethel against the anointed king of Judah, and you, excuse me, of Israel, and you must say, stop cheating." Let me give you an information of what, or a little bit of what he said to what Amos was saying to the king that got him in so much hot water. "Listen to this, you who rob the poor and trample the needy. You can't wait for the Sabbath day to be over and those religious festivals to end so that you can get back to cheating the helpless. You measure out your grain in fake measures and weigh it with dishonest scales. You mix the wheat you sell with chaff swept from the floor. Then you enslave the poor people for a debt of one piece of silver or the debt of one pair of sandals." This time Amos is not attacking the morality of the king like John was, but he's attacking the morality of how the king is running the government. The things that the government are allowing to happen, he's attacking those things. John the Baptist and Amos, they were called for a purpose. Neither of them were professional clergy. Neither of them had training in political realm. But the Holy Spirit chose them at that moment in time to speak truth to power. Power that was put in place by God's anointing of the priest. These were both Jewish kings. Separated at birth, John the Baptist and Amos are representative of who we are as a people. That sometimes God calls each of us to stand up and speak truth to power, regardless of the consequences. For Amos, he just had to go back home. He just got kicked out of the capital city. But for John, he lost his head. We are called as a people of God to speak forth the message given to us. And you don't have to go through 7 years of postgraduate education. You just have to be called and listen to the Holy Spirit within you. Because each of us can be Amos, and each of us can be John the Baptist. Blessed be the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.